You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you. And we have a special guest tonight, Coach Gio. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. I had a few technical difficulties trying to get on here, man. And I'm just glad I was able to get on here with you. And yeah, man, it's a pretty fun day. We'll see how this game tonight ends up.
Absolutely. And, you know, I appreciate your perseverance. And that's actually something I think you know a lot about and that you are a specialist in some ways. So want to thank you for coming on to the show and having you here. This is our questions with a coach segment. We did one of these last year with Coach Sean Rochester, also a contributor from the Five Reasons Sports Network, so, just like yourself. I did some homework while we were setting this up. There's a website called www.coachgeo.training.
Yes.
You should go there if you're in the audience. I put it in the description below. This website is your own personal fitness website. Now,
yes.
What I found very interesting on here, you have a phrase called moving with a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
I love that phrase. I want you to tell me why you came up with that phrase and what it means to you, and then I'll tell you why I love it.
Yeah, man. So I've been in this fitness and wellness business for about 13 years now. I was in the sports management realm before that. So I used to work for the AAA, Miami Heat, and I decided, man, like I really want to work for myself. I want to help athletes like myself and just get to that next level, but with a purpose, right? Like I don't just want to go into a gym setting or like go to a workout class and just, hey, let's get a good sweat in. So I dove deep in the books. I learned what I needed to learn, and I wanted to make sure that every single session that I work with somebody, not just in the gym, but like when it comes to their nutrition, because I'm a certified strength coach and I have other certifications as well. So we work with like a more holistic view, and we focus on their entire purpose. Like, why are you in this building right now? Like, why do you need to change your life today? What is it that you want to do today that you didn't want to do a week ago or a month ago or a year ago? So everything is purpose driven. We have wellness coaches that come in and help with people's mindset. We have massage therapists, physical therapists. I mean, we have it all. So everything is purposeful and intentional. And that's really like our tagline is moving with a purpose.
No, I love that. That's actually really cool. The reason why I love it
Thank
is
you.
That in basketball, and that's my realm of where my whole life has been since I was five, is that you need to move with a purpose. You can't just move around the court haphazardly, lackadaisically. You need to be moving with a purpose. If you're coming off a screen, you need to be shoulder to shoulder, boom.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Or set that screen up. You fake over here and then boom, explode right now. And that's going to lead into some of the other stuff you do, like you said, with your holistic view of training. I wanted to get some of your thoughts as we go along on what is some of the things that one that you've learned that you think shaped and molded your philosophy. And then two, what you feel that a lot of young players or people that, because I'm basketball oriented, I don't know if you train other athletes mm-hmm. outside of ball, but what they could take away from and what your biggest takeaways are, or you think for them in terms of, you don't have to give specifics because I don't want you to give away the whole store, but takeaways that they can, that, you know, they could take away like to their routine, or maybe something they could take away that they may not have thought about to kind mm-hmm. of broaden their perspective on how to make that jump. Because for me, I don't want to talk a lot about myself, but when I was growing up, I was an overtrainer. So, you know, I had that whole myth of if you're sleeping, the other guy's outworking you, wearing down halfway through seasons. And then also I was born probably the worst athlete in my entire family.
Wow. Like, okay.
I have my cousin played Division II basketball. My other cousin had a full ride to Penn State before he got in trouble. All this stuff. They're all amazing athletes. Mm-hmm. Me, I wasn't that guy. So I had to overcome that. And my big issue was foot speed. Mm. So like I had a barrier there that my coaches couldn't recognize. My track coach did. So are there things that people can do to overcome some genetic or athletic limitations they may have to take their career to the next level?
Definitely. I would tell you first and foremost, just so people know a little bit more, I have a background. I played several sports growing up. I played volleyball, played football, baseball. And at the age of 12, I decided to go all in on basketball. That was my first love when it came to sports, and I wanted to pursue that fully. I played high school, played a little bit collegially before I got cut, and even had a few tryouts for the G League, did some semi-pro ball before my body ultimately broke down. And ultimately, that's what was my downfall. And that's why I pivoted towards fitness, because I said, you know what? I want to be able to help other athletes like myself that maybe aren't the elite of the elite, where you can overcome some of these things and make it to that next level. And the methods and the methodologies that I've been able to acquire knowledge of is, man, I wish I would have had this when I was coming up, because I've been able to work with NBA guys. I've been able to work with MLB guys, hockey players, soccer players, all kinds of athletes, even golfers, and trying to figure out that edge. And what I tell people all the time is, listen, there's that 1%, right? There's the LeBron Jameses of the world, but then there's the Andre Millers of the world, guys that maybe don't catch your attention athletically, but because they know the game, they know what they're good at, and they figure that out at an early age, and they know, you know what, I need to really lean into this. For me, my biggest thing was I was never the biggest guy. I was never the fastest, never the strongest, but I was always, if not the most competitive, I was up there. And I knew that that was what was going to be my separating factor. Like I knew, like I remember I played in high school against Brandon Knight, and I competed with him. You know, he gave us 30, but it took him 30 shots to get there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I was competing. And I knew he was at that point, I was probably stronger physically, but I knew that athletically I could not compete with this guy. So I studied angles. I watched tape. I knew what his weaknesses were, and I knew what my strengths were. You know what I mean? And I leaned into that, and I didn't try to do something that I wasn't good at. I just tried to really lean into what I was good at. And ultimately, like you said, foot speed. So someone that lacks foot speed, I'll give you an example. I'm working with a pro basketball player right now. He plays overseas. And I'm trying to work on his hips and getting low enough to not have to focus on wasting his dribbles, because he has a great handle, but he wastes his dribbles. And sometimes I tell him, dude, you don't even have to get by that man with a dribble. You can just look at where his feet are positioned. You can look at how low his hips are, and in a split second, make a decision that will ultimately get you to your spot. So those are the things that we focus on. We use a lot of like video. We use a lot of, like I tell him to send me tape and video of him during his games, during his practices in the rec leagues, because I like to see some of the things that he can improve upon and see, hey, look, this is a weakness. We can keep working on it, but let's really hone in and lean in onto what you're strong at.
No, that's terrific philosophy and a way to attack that, especially for people that aspire to move up a level, whether it's from high school to college, from college to pro. You have to have an MBA skill or a collegiate skill or a skill in high school that's at least going to get you on the floor to start. That leads me to the off season, where I always like to say that's where you add and expand to your game. That's where you work on your weaknesses, focus on one thing that offseason and come back with that being a strength or improved. You can keep rounding out your game as you go. Mm-hmm. And you see players like you don't got to take the superstars. Like Duncan Robinson from the Miami Heat is an amazing example of a guy who rounded out his game as his career went along, pretty much at West Virginia, standstill shooter, a little bit of movement, but his foot speed wasn't great, so he wasn't a great movement shooter. And then whenever he got to the Miami Heat, that's one thing I noticed that really popped and made his game go from just a movement shooter on dribble handoffs and spotting up and being on the weak side, was a guy that could really attack the closeouts, beat you off the dribble a little bit, finish at the basket. And that was improving his foot speed, improving his hips and things like that. So you bring up a great point.
Go for it.
Oh no. One of the other things I was going to say that you caught my attention about what you said was you can tell, especially when you're doing skill work, how to beat a defender based on their foot placement, like their stance. And I always like to say players today, and this isn't a knock to any player today, they don't play out of the triple threat enough. They immediately use their dribble, and it really creates a disadvantage because now you're putting yourself in a position where that defender knows that you cannot like pivot and change directions. Like you're going where your hips are. So like, no matter how quick your handle is, I know where your hips are going, but whenever you have that triple threat, if a defender's shading you to your weak side and you attack that front foot, you know their hips got to open up and you got that jump shot.
Yeah, if you look, let's use an example. And obviously, you and I, we follow more so the Heat, but we watch the whole league. But I'll use an example of someone that, you know, I wasn't, these days, I don't watch the collegiate game as much. I know you're all locked in with college ball. But back when Caleb Martin was in Nevada, right, we didn't see him really attack closeouts with the cagey way he did after 21-22 with the Heat, right? So he was just going based off of his athleticism. We saw that after that 21-22 Eastern Conference Final where the Celtics left him open, what he added to his game was not something extraordinary. Like people sometimes say, hey, you got to bring that corner three or you got to improve your handle. All he worked on was attacking closeouts. I'm sure he worked on some other things, but you'll notice if you look at his highlights from the entire season of 2022, 2023, he would take maybe a split second to look at the defender that was closing down, look where their front foot was at, and he'd attack. And Caleb was one of the most effective players in the NBA, I believe, if I were to pull up the stats, at attacking closeouts. It led to an assist, a foul, free something. And those are things that are extremely simple that one can add at the youth level, right? These are things that if NBA caliber guys that are making tens of millions of dollars a year are adding something that simple, imagine someone that's in middle school, high school, college, the things that they can add to their game.
Absolutely. You bring up a great point because attacking the closeout allows you to be able to shoot your three-point shot because it backs up the defense once you blow by them. And for Caleb didn't have a great in-between mid-range game, but if you have that midi game, a lot like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, once you attack that closeout, you attack that front foot, just like we said earlier, the hips have to open. Once the hips open, you got your jump shot or your step back. Hopefully not the James Harden step back because it's seven steps backwards. But so one of the other things, too, about when we talk about foot speed, because I've always been of the philosophy, if I'm even, I'm leaving, just like in football. If I'm even, I'm leaving. So even if you don't beat them, once you can lock them on your hip, you've got them. You can go anywhere you need to go on the basketball floor. And that's why foot speed is important. I used to do dot drills. The rubber mat, that's what my track coach had us do. And that's what really solved my foot speed. Dot drills, jump rope, foot fires, you know, hip quarter turns, foot fires into hip quarter turns, and then foot fires into 180s. So we used to do those. And that really opened up my game from there defensively, because offensively, that was my bag. Like I could score with it, the best of them. It's just defensively, I wasn't able to hang because of my foot speed. So are there anything outside of specifics of what you do that maybe a youth can pick up and do without a trainer?
Definitely. So without a trainer, we'll start there and then I'll kind of build from that. But without a trainer, one of the things that I always focus on is form. And it's tough to know if your form is good enough or what it needs to be. If you really don't know, like we always say, you don't know what you don't know. You know, it's every time I go through an assessment with one of my clients or one of the first few sessions, they're like, oh, I didn't know I was doing that wrong. And what I tell them is, it's not necessarily that you were doing it wrong. It's that it just wasn't the best fit for you, right? Like I'll have a basketball player that he'll tell me he wants to improve his foot speed, or a baseball player. And that could be different things for different people, right? It could be maybe you start off great, but you don't end well. Or it could be maybe your posture is incorrect and you have enough foot speed. You're just not using it correctly. So some of the simple things that people can do at home, I would say, is you cannot produce what you cannot absorb. Okay. If you cannot load, what do I mean by that? Like, for example, if you're a basketball player and you want to improve your vertical, well, if you cannot absorb the force that you're trying to produce, like if you cannot land correctly in a safely manner, there's no way you're going to be able to improve your vertical, right? A lot of times people say, oh, coach, how can I get faster? I ask them a question. I say, well, how often are you sprinting? Oh, well, I don't really sprint. Well, you're not going to get faster. You're not going to get faster, right? Like, how do I get bigger biceps? You gotta work on your biceps, you know? So typically I'll just say run. For my youth, I always tell them just start running. Okay, you're not going to get faster if you're not running enough. And this is something that has to be done consistently or else you're not going to improve. So that's just a simple thing. I know it sounds like, okay, that's all you're giving me. But honestly, it's that simple. Replicate what you do out on the court, okay? Like if you see that there's probably about 3 to 4 possessions in a row where there's no fouls, there's no stoppage in play, maybe run for 3 to 4 possessions in a row. Train yourself for the sport that you're playing, because otherwise you're not going to improve.
No, that's a great answer. In all of my work, whenever I used to train, it was the same thing. Repetitive routine, because I'm a big routine guy. Mm-hmm. And in all of that, including running 1.5 miles a day every morning, 5 a.m., an hour worth of drills before school, before the bus got there back in high school, and then in college, of course. But in that drill work, it's all sprinting. It's in there. And that's how you get faster. You're 100% right. Any of the dribbling drills you do, you should be doing a little bit of static to warm up and all that stuff. But then everything's boom. You're on the move. Full court zigzags, full court step backs, you know, getting into your handle work, getting into your footwork out of the triple threat. On the move, on the move, on the move. Same thing with your shooting drills. So I agree, man. You're spot on, and that's why you're the professional. tell me how a coach can elevate their game to the next level. What can you provide, and why should people sign up for Coach Geo Move with a Purpose Fitness app, which I'm going to put on the screen while you explain all this.
Cool. And I appreciate that, man. I would say first and foremost, if you're looking into getting the right coach, first you want to make sure that this coach has all the schooling, right? Now, let me preface it by saying you don't need to have a coach that has a doctorate in anatomy or whatever the case is. But you do want to make sure that your coach is well-versed in what you're trying to get. Like, for example, if you want to get stronger, make sure you probably want to get into it. You want to have a certified strength coach, right? If you're someone that is an athlete, you probably want a coach that is well-versed in sports performance. So you want to make sure you do your due diligence and your research and look up. Nowadays, we have, obviously, you got Google, but you also have social media where a lot of coaches have their credentials. You want to make sure that they have the right prerequisites. But in terms of what I do, I bill myself as a performance coach, not just out on the court or on the field, but in your entire life. Like, people come to me, busy professionals as well. I don't just train athletes. Actually, most of my clients are busy, burnt out CEOs, VPs that just want to be able to improve their performance. They're tired. They're sluggish. They work crazy hours and they want to improve their performance. So we focus on a whole holistic view. But I think that's what separates me from other coaches in our team as well, is that we're focused on performance. We want to make sure we elevate you. And because we're so focused on that, we make sure that our programs are top notch. So like when people come in and work with us, we do a very detailed assessment. It could be anywhere from 90 minutes to 3 hours, depending on what people's needs are. You know, like I've had an NBA player, maybe some of you guys know Avery Bradley. He played for the Heat for one season. He worked with me, and his assessment was almost 3 hours long because we measured every single, you know, joint angle, and it was very, very in-depth. Some people don't really care for that, and they'll just come in for an assessment. But based off of our assessment, we're able to see what your weaknesses are, what your strengths are, and we try to marry what your goals are with what your body actually needs. And then we'll build based off of that. And so that's really our process in terms of figuring that out. And then we have a three-step process. We go phase one, phase two, phase three. Phase one is very foundational, and we want to help build patterns, right? So I'll use that basketball player that I've been working with recently. He's played overseas. He's from Maryland. Right now, his hips are extremely, extremely tight. So a lot of the first phase of his training was just making sure his body's able to move pain-free, right? Yeah. And that could be anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 weeks, depending on where you're at. Then we get to phase two, which is more we're building upon that. And then phase three is where we focus on high performance, right? Let's get you in peak shape for your season. And then once we get to phase three, it doesn't end there, because then the next phase is phase one again, but now your ceiling becomes the floor of the next program.
Right.
So that's essentially how we pattern everything. And we're just focused. Our main thing is performance. How can you perform better as an overall human being? Not just physically, but also.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Mentally and even your spirit, like you want to come in and feel like, you know what, I got this. I can do this. I can become a better version of myself.
Yeah, I love that, man. That's a great philosophy. It resonates with me because that's something that I've always carried with me, is that I can do this. There's nobody that can stop me. A little irrational confidence probably led to some mistakes in my youth, but still. Yeah. But no, I love that mindset. I love that mentality. Amir from Team the Beat Heat stopped by. He said,
hey.
Zoom out.
Oh, who, me or you?
I don't know. He's probably talking about me. He comes in to make fun of me all the time. That's just what he does. He said, Gio, how can I become flexible enough to touch my toes? Do you stretch?
Yeah. So a lot of times, believe it or not. So I'll give you an example. I'll give you guys a free one, right? So more often than not, people mistake a lack of flexibility for something else going on in their body. Mm. So one of my clients, who he's a chronic, his hamstrings and his mind are always tight. Yeah. But whenever we do his movement screen, I show him, you're actually not as tight as you believe to be. There's sometimes a neurological block, and this is not for everyone. Not everyone has this scenario. But he sustained an injury years prior that caused a lot of trauma. Our nervous system stores some trauma. So whenever he would get in certain positions, he felt immediately the tightness, and he felt, oh, I cannot go past that. Through some breathing techniques, through some strengthening, because a lot of times when you're tight, you're just weak.
Right.
So like a lot of times I get people say, oh, my back is tight, my lower back, my glutes, my hamstrings. And really what's happening is their hip flexors are tight to the point where you're lengthening everything in the back. So, and this is just a specific case.
Right.
So if your hamstrings, you constantly feel tight, I would probably recommend you to stretch your hip flexors, strengthen the hamstrings. And there's several different like nervous system techniques, something as simple as breathing. With this specific hamstring case, what I would tell this person to do is I said, okay, close your eyes, puff up your cheeks. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'd have him puff up his cheeks and he'd blow the air clockwise 5 times and then counterclockwise. So he'd go like this.
Mm.
He did that 5 times on each side. What that did is there's a nerve that activated in his face that caused him to loosen a little bit his hamstrings. Sure enough, within minutes, he was able to go from touching his shins to touching his foot. I'm sorry, to touching the floor flat palm. So right. In his case, it was a nervous system issue. More often than not, people think they're tighter than what they really are.
Yeah. And you know what? That's why you need a professional, because there's no way you're going to figure that out on your own. I recently have come back from, well, come back is a relative term. I've recently been to sports rehabilitation therapy for my 11 herniated disc, right? And my Achilles. It's been a rough 4 or 5 years. But the things that he did, none of it was groundbreaking, right? But a lot of it I would have never thought of on my own. And yeah. I'm pain-free for the first time in like five years. And
congrats, dude. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Long way to go. Long way to go to get back into basketball shape. There's some other stuff going on, but anyway, Ryan says, how often should I go tanning to maintain peak physical form, lotion or no lotion? thanks for that, Ryan. Thanks. For that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this group is a little unruly here on the channel, but I appreciate everybody. We just went over 5,000 subscribers. We're at 5,600 right now, pushing towards 10K. That's our next goal. Real quick, Coach Gio, I don't want to take up any more of your time if you're busy, but if you do, I want to talk a little bit about the finals.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, cool. That's the fun part. Or your playlist, because I like to talk about playlists around here as well. I'm old school, dude. I listen to 90. I was listening to They Need Effects the other day by Das Effects. Dude, I love this song, so good, even to this day. But anyway, the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Halliburton said he's going to play.
Yeah. I was having a discussion about this earlier, man. When it comes to severe calf strains, and what I classify as severe is anything where it's a multiple week injury, where you're probably, like, if this was the regular season, he'd be out multiple weeks. You know, one right. thing is to break a finger, sprain your ankle, but usually when we see, I'll give you three examples of calf strains that led to Achilles tears.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The first one that comes to mind is KD game 6, 2019 against the Raptors. Calf strain. And typically when you blow out your Achilles, it's usually when that back foot is planting behind your center of gravity. That's usually right. when it happens. We saw it with Tatum. That's how Tatum, he planted back, boom, Achilles gave out. Now, we don't know if he had a calf strain, but KD did. The other example we saw with Dame Lillard, first it was a blood clot that came from a calf strain.
Oh, my God.
Okay? And he came back too fast. We saw how that happened. His foot planted way too far back, way away from his center of gravity. That happened. DeJounte Murray earlier this season, about 5 to 6 months ago, same thing. So I don't want to put this out there, but if I was tired, and listen, you're talking to a dude that was one of the biggest competitors in myself. Like, I was right. a dog when I was playing.
Right.
Now, knowing what I know, and we've heard, at least I've heard, that this is a multi-week absence kind of injury, calf strain. I know it's game 6, but there's that risk of him missing a year if he pulls, if he hurts the Achilles. Now, there's right. things that Indiana can do when he's out there. They can play zone. They can protect him. On offense, maybe have him play a little bit off the ball, be a little bit of a decoy. If he wants to do that, cool. I think there's ways that he can manage that. But if that thing gets stiff on him, or he makes that one wrong move, I'd be very wary of that.
You went exactly where I was thinking, because as somebody that suffers from Achilles tendonitis, like, it's the first thing I thought of. He's going to do that with a calf strain, risking his Achilles, which is a much larger, more devastating injury. And I was watching a doctor, I can't remember who, on YouTube. He's a doctor, and he was explaining that a lot of these injuries, because I feel like we're seeing more and more of these Achilles injuries than we ever have before, is mm-hmm. that people aren't getting enough rest and recovery. When they Correct. Have calf strains, when they have these soft tissue injuries, they're just pushing through. Now, as somebody that had a bad ankle in college, when I played in college, and it led to a cascading effect of a pulled groin, on both sides because I kept playing. That's very possible, and it's a scary thing. I also heard, tell me if I'm wrong, because this is getting really into the minutia, maybe boring for the audience, but Achilles, I heard it's the tendon is three separate fibers wrapped around one another to go all the way up to behind the knee.
It innervates. It's a pretty, I don't have my anatomy book in front of me, but right. It is a pretty, so essentially, typically when you have a calf, Achilles tear like that, the calf will drop, or I'm sorry, it'll go high up.
Right.
Because it's basically a band that snaps. So that's why, you know, back in the day, people would say, oh, you know, ACL tear is the worst injury. No, you see guys bounce back from that and they're still the same player. KD, and I'm going across all sports.
Right.
Kevin Durant is the closest athlete that has been able to get, you know, to his former version of who he was. But even then, when he came back, he had to become a more elite mid-range and jump shooter in order to compensate for his lack of being able to attack the basket at the same level.
Right.
So that's like the one injury you do not want to have. Like, you'd rather have 100%. An MCL, patellar tendon. You don't want any of these. But if you were to have an injury, this is the one injury you do not want to have. You know, my OG Miami fans will know what happened to Dan Marino. You know, he was still a beast, but he was never the same. So Achilles is something that you want to be very mindful of, and you want to make sure you get the right treatment. I think a lot of these injuries are happening. It's twofold, right? Because there's always been 82 games plus the playoffs. But right. Athletes these days are much more explosive. It's a much more specialized sport, right? There's always training. And my opinion is that if you're going to train and play as hard as you're going to play and train, you have to recover just as hard. We saw Dwayne Wade after 2014, after they lost to the Spurs, he went to a trainer who I know, and this trainer is ham. And maybe this is a little boring, but I'll be as quick as possible. His hamstring mobility was terrible. If you guys remember, from 2014 on, D Wade didn't really have any major injuries, and he changed his training and he recovered just as hard as he was training.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's incredible, and that's one of the things that, as a younger athlete, I wish I knew. I wish I knew how to recover properly, what proper recovery looked like, and what was good recovery time and when I should be working. Yeah. And again, that's why you need professionals, because you're not going to know that as a young player or even as a college player, and even sometimes as a pro player. Like,
you're
not going to know that. Ryan on YouTube says, any truth in the PRP injections possibly causing the increase in Achilles injuries? It seems the medical community shoots it down, but a lot of people will make the correlation to it. I'll challenge you this, Ryan. Even players and athletes that don't have PRP injections are getting these Achilles tears.
Yeah. So I wouldn't. I don't necessarily have a take on that. I haven't done the requisite amount of research to have an opinion on that. So I wish I had the knowledge of that. I personally haven't read any papers or read any peer-reviewed research on that, but doesn't mean it's not true. So I would, I'd actually, that kind of piqued my interest. I'll look into that and see if that's a thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, it could be, but my thing to me, and again, I'm not an expert, I'll defer to you. And Ryan, because he apparently knows about it. there are athletes that don't get PRPs. Like my Achilles, both of them, and I'm not near an athlete anymore, but like it started from just, I think, in my personal opinion, overtraining. Because I had to overcome my lack of foot speed by training my behind off in that one area. And I think overtraining really, and also not stretching properly enough. Because, I mean, I stretched, but also, like, it was only on game days. So,
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we don't have enough to say, hey, this is the reason. Right. But there's so many things that we can do. We can build our tendon resilience to make the, tendon more resilient, right? There's a lot of different methodologies and techniques and things that you can do. I will say this. There's no such thing, and anyone that tells you this is 100% flat out liar. there's no such thing as injury prevention. We are playing sports that are not a natural thing for the body to do. It's not natural to have a 50-inch vertical. It's not natural to fly cross country and play 48 minutes. And these are things that are not natural. So there's always a chance, the possibility of a major injury. But I'll give you an example. I train my body in what I feel is a very adequate way for what I need, what my needs are. Right? I'm not a pro athlete anymore. I'm not a semi-pro athlete anymore. So my load is not the same. But I guarantee you this, there's been times where I've sprained my ankle that if it wasn't because I've built the right tissue resilience, it could have been worse. It could have been a broken ankle, could have been something else. But because I am in conditioned and in the right, you know, shape that I should be in, it was just a sprained ankle and it didn't progress into something worse.
More catastrophic. No, that makes a lot of sense. Last thing before we get out of here, do the Pacers have a chance?
There's always a chance. I mean, if you guys follow me on Twitter with Gio Valdez _, I predicted that it was going to be OKC in six. I stand by that. I know after game one, I was a little tempted to change my prediction. But at the end of the day, man, OKC's defense is just smothering. They have no holes. They have a great first option. I have some friends of mine that they were talking about Jalen Williams not being a great second option. And I told them, I said, look, this kid is an amazing player. If he continues on this trajectory, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be an All-NBA kind of guy. I love his game. He's a great second option. They have the vets, which is what I think that's what they were missing last year. They were missing a Hartenstein, a Caruso, guys that have been there. One of them is a champion. Like, they were missing that. And the scary part is, after they pull this off tonight, or game seven, I think they're going to win, they still have draft picks that they can trade. They still have caps. Like, this is scary, right? This team could potentially have another. With the new CBA, they could probably run a good 3 to 4 years before they have to start paying people. 3 to 4 years of this run, you know. So it's nice and refreshing to see something new. And as a Heat fan, this gives us hope, because you've seen this young team put it together. You've seen teams like Indiana, who I don't think is such a far away. They're not so far away from Miami. Miami can make a few moves and make something happen. But I think OKC ultimately pulls it out, and it's going to be nice to see, regardless of who wins, whether it's Indiana or OKC, I think it's going to be OKC. It's going to be nice to see a new, fresh face as the champion.
Absolutely. I agree with you as well. I had him in 5 or 6 games also, OKC. And one of my big things was the way OKC plays defense and the way Indiana plays offense. If you keep getting down in a series to a team like OKC, even that first game when they won, I was like, not a big deal, because the odds of that repeating itself are so small. Mm-hmm. Your margin of error is a razor thin margin. You can't win a championship that way. No. And that's why I was so confident OKC was going to pull this out. And then Halliburton getting injured, you have no shot. Now, when you said Miami's not that far off, I kind of agree with you and kind of don't, because Miami doesn't have a Halliburton. Miami doesn't have a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's what they need to find. And to me, for the Miami Heat, the biggest need they have as a franchise is finding that next guy and not just a okay guy.
So let me ask you this. Well, before I ask you that, these are the three things I think Miami needs to get ultimately to that level. Let's say a level of Indiana, right? They need a third big, a reliable third big.
Absolutely.
They need a point guard. Doesn't have to be an elite point guard, but a table-setting point guard. A guy like Jones. I can't believe I forget his name.
Trey Jones.
Tyus Jones. Something like that. And then ultimately that main score that can take some of the pressure off Tyler and Bam. Now, I don't think I like Tyrese. I don't think he's so much of a good player I don't think he's on the same level as Shai, right? Like, I don't think if you put him on the Heat that Tyrese is that much better than a Bam or that much better than Tyler. But I do think that a Shai is on a different stratosphere, like somebody like that. I don't think Tyrese is ever going to be an MVP, if that makes any sense.
No, I see what you're saying for sure.
it's more roster construction, right? Like Indiana has a bunch of dogs. This reminds me of like the 2020-2023 Heat. They have a bunch of dogs, a bunch of guys that can give you 15 to 20 that are just going to play their hearts out. And ultimately, if you have that and you have a leader that people are willing to follow, it can happen. But yeah, like I don't think Miami's that far away. There's just a lot of things that need to happen. You know what I mean? For them to get to that level.
And that's another issue though, because they have a lack of assets to go acquire those types of guys. Like in this draft, for example, like I'm hoping they keep the pick and draft a Thomas Sorber, for example, who if he fell to 20, because he's one of my favorite bigs in the draft. Now you got that backup big, you got your power rotation set. Then you can go out and maybe get one of those vet minimum guys to come in and fill out the guard spot, as you mentioned. And then maybe you're in a little bit better position. But ultimately, I think their best route to getting back to who this franchise needs to be is finding the next guy. Because Tyler's good.
Yeah.
Because Tyler's very
good. He's not that guy. But he's not that guy.
Yeah, he's not that guy. Yeah. You're not that guy, pal. But no, man, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Same here.
I want to get you out here right. Let the people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work, man.
Definitely, man. So like Adele was saying, my coaching website is www.coachgeo.training. Pretty simple to remember. You guys can apply for coaching on there if you'd like some of that, or even just to get on a free wellness call with me. I'd love to help you guys. And I also have a free ebook on there about proven body fat loss tips. If you want to download a free book, it's an easy read. It's not a long read. You can follow me on Twitter, Gio Valdez _. You can also follow me on LinkedIn or Instagram, Coach Gio _. And any questions you guys have or any coaching needs you might have, I'm there readily available for you guys.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. Two quick comments from the chat. They said the Heat need bucket getters on rookie deals. I mean, they don't grow on trees, but you're absolutely right about that.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Yeah. This
and,
is true.
You know, Coach Gio, again, pleasure having you. Can't wait to see the people's lives that you impact and hear those stories for many years to come, my friend. Thanks for coming on the program and have a great rest of your night. You're welcome.
Appreciate it. You too.
All right, take it easy. I'll see you guys next time.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.